Welcome
to episode number 400 of Doctor Time and Space, a weekly Doctor podcast starring me, Lewis Moon.
And me, The Cool.
Yeah, 400.
Wow. The penultimate.
The penultimate episode of this podcast. Mm. We are at 400 already. Mm. It's difficult to believe, but, you know.
I think next week we'll perhaps share with the listeners what our plans are moving forward.
Yeah.
Because we've got some ideas, haven't
we? We do.
I don't think we go into that yet.
Yeah.
Because mainly because we've got a lot of other things to talk
about.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today, by the way. We're going to be discussing something relevant for once. We never do. but yes, we are going to be today chatting through our thoughts, our verdict on the New Year's Day special, Revolution of the Daleks, which is the first Doctor episode that's hit us since lockdown. Our Ooh. Now annual New Year's Day special, and we don't know each other's thoughts yet. No.
Indeed. I mean, just thinking about it, there was other news that was announced at some point, I think presumably at the end of the program.
Yeah, and I don't think we should discuss that until
afterwards. I was going to say, should we pick that up later?
I think we could probably discuss it without revealing our thoughts on the episode, but I'm just worried that it may give away things about our thoughts on the episode
I'd
itself.
Agree.
So, yeah. Okay. But yeah, big news came out as well after the episode.
So should we launch straight into the episode then?
Yes. So we're gonna go with the synopsis first, you know.
Okay. Yep. Go for it.
So, a recap, as we call it, a recap of the kneecap. And so the episode starts with a look back at Resolution, and it was quite exciting actually for me, because it popped up on iPlayer a few minutes before it was meant to start airing, so I put it on. Not that that spoils anything for my thoughts, but it was quite nice to see it on there, and I got to watch it a few minutes before most people did. So it starts off there and goes through what happened in Resolution, and then we find out that the remains of the Dalek.
We should just say there'll be many spoilers, probably.
There will be many. Yeah, sorry. Spoiler alert. The remains of the Dalek have been discovered, and they've been taken back. Now we see later on that the Daleks are being used as defense drones. Now, funding these and working on these are Jack Robertson, who we last saw in Arachnids in the UK, the Trumpian businessman, and a new character, I don't know her name, but a Prime Minister. She becomes the Prime Minister later on in the episode. She's basically Harriet Jones. they sort of introduce the defence drones, and these drones are in the form of Daleks, and they are sort of defending the police, stopping crime, stuff like that. And those are spread across the world. Now, meanwhile, we've got the Doctor, who is in a high-security space prison. She goes around, she sees a lot of familiar monsters from both the Jodie Whittaker era, including the Pating, and we also see that she's sort of struggling through that, and she has a knock at the door of the prison, which is peculiar. On Earth, we've got the companions who think the Doctor, or Graham and Ryan sort of suspect that the Doctor might be dead. Yaz is still desperate to look for her, and they discover that the defence drone's being used. They discover that Robertson is joining forces with the Daleks, or so they believe, and confront him. Meanwhile, the Doctor is rescued from the prison by Captain Jack, who has returned, and later on they return in no time in the TARDIS and get back to Earth to be reunited with the companions and solve the mystery of the Daleks, which they soon discover isn't everything it seems. Robertson doesn't know that the defence drones are Daleks and doesn't know that they are dangerous. And eventually the scientific advisor, I don't know what to call him, he extracts a bit of Dalek DNA or whatever, and it becomes alive. It starts building its empire up, and new Dalek reconnaissance beings that feed off sort of human remains have sort of built up, and eventually attempt to conquer the world and use the Earth as sort of a slave ground to conquer the rest of the universe, which is a plan that's soon conquered by some more familiar Daleks later on. And of course, at the end of the episode, we see Graham and Ryan leave the TARDIS after Ryan decides that he doesn't want to be part of the Doctor's team anymore, the fam. And Graham decides that he wants to spend more time with his grandson, so they go off and ride the bike like they did in the first episode. So that's the synopsis. Right, yes, that's the synopsis.
So that takes us on to our thoughts.
Yes.
How are we going to run this? How do you want to...
Should I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay.
Did you like it or not?
I'm in a very interesting position, actually, because I neither liked it or didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why you didn't want to do hit or miss.
That's why I didn't want to do it.
Because I wanted, for the listeners, I thought it'd be really fun if we just both at the same point said whether we thought something was a hit or a miss.
Now, first of all, there's some stuff I really liked in it, mm-hmm. and I thought there was some stuff that was really enjoyable, some really good ideas. The stuff that I liked wasn't necessarily the things I expected to like, and I don't want to say what the things I liked were, because I don't want to spoil our Too Good Too Bad, but it had terrible pacing. The pacing was all over the place. It was terrible. And I feel there were too many underdeveloped elements of the story and some stuff that went into some different places than they should have done, I think. I think mainly the story... I think it started off very strongly. I have criticisms all the way through. The story itself with the Daleks started off really strongly, had some really good ideas going on there. And then sort of went in a weird direction at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say it was... I enjoyed it enough as an episode, but there's too much for that I didn't like for me to praise it too much.
Okay. Okay, interesting.
Okay. I think I know what you think.
I thought it was crap.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say it was good.
No, I thought it was really, really bad.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from. I see where you were coming from either way, yeah.
Yeah. There were a handful of things I liked about it, but not very much, to be honest with you.
It was very messy, wasn't it?
Mm.
I struggled to define my opinions on it because I enjoyed certain parts of it, but there's a lot of messy things about it, I think.
Whilst I thought the last New Year's special, the last proper New Year's special with the Daleks in it, was a bit of a victory after a really weak season, I thought this was just really bad.
Yeah, I definitely see where you're coming
very
from.
Very bad indeed. But we'll come on to that in a bit more detail. Yeah. In fact, let's do that now, shall we? Should we go straight into the section of the show that we like to call...
Too Good Too Bad!
Too Good Too Bad, when we contemplate two good things on any given subject, in this instance, Revolution of the Daleks.
And two bad things on any given subject, in this instance, Revolution of the Daleks.
Because some things are too good.
And some things are too bad.
Okay, so basically, the penultimate Too Good Too Bad.
Yeah, sad.
So
it?
We both think of something good about the episode, which is going to take me a little bit of a time to come up with. We both think of something bad about the episode, which I have a bucket load.
Yeah, but the bad is easier.
So let's start with you. What did you think? You obviously enjoyed this more than I did.
Yeah, which is surprising. I enjoyed it when it was on, and it's one that I did an Instagram review of this last night, and I was quite negative on it. And I'm sort of thinking I'm too harsh on it, so we'll see what I think. But so my good actually is something that has been terrible all the way through the Chibnall era, mm-hmm. pretty much. And that's the characters. I think, in terms of the work that was done on the companions, although it still has some way to go, I think there was some really nice resolutions for some of the characters. And I think the sort of quieter moments involving them, especially moments like the one where Jack and Yaz were talking and where Ryan and 13 were talking, just the quieter moments, the character moments, I think really took the characters to the best places they've been so far, I think. And while in a storytelling perspective it was weak for me, I found that there were some good moments involving the team as a whole.
Okay. So I really disagree on it.
Okay.
Okay, that's not entirely true, and actually what I was going to have as my good fits in with this, so I will pick something different, but I will expand on what I was going to say. I thought generally, and I'm coming into a bad, but to explain the good, okay, I thought the dialogue in this was atrocious.
Oh yeah.
I thought the writing was as bad, if not worse, than what we've been used to with it.
At times it was awful.
And I don't want to expand on that too much, because that might be what you're going to have as your bad.
Oh, no.
But anyway, we'll come back to that later. But the one time where they did get it was, I thought, actually, the final scene in the TARDIS with Graham, Ryan and the Doctor talking.
Yeah.
Was really well done.
Yeah.
That was really strong. Actually, for the first time, I thought the guy that plays Ryan actually acted quite well.
Yeah.
Because the first time I was bawling elsewhere in this episode.
I felt something towards Ryan at certain points. There were really annoying Ryan moments, as always, but it was certainly his best episode so far. I agree with you that the writing was bad in some places, but there were a few moments where I think the characters were handled really well. And I certainly enjoyed the more quieter elements of the episode more, because they sort of felt less messy, and they felt out of place at times, but they felt nice and nuanced.
Mm. Other than that one bit, I can't agree with you.
Okay.
Just mainly because just the writing, I don't know, it seemed awful. So that was going to be my good, but it links too much in with you. So I'm gonna say that I liked, and this is how difficult it is for me to think of anything good, because this is a really small point, but I liked seeing the silence for a couple of seconds.
Okay.
And I liked the fact, I thought there was actually the one good line in it was when the Doctor said, "I don't remember seeing you here," or something like that, which I thought was actually quite a funny play on the silence. But that was it.
Yeah. I'll go into those bits in a minute, the prison scene.
I think we should probably, an easy way, once we've gone past our main Too Good Too Bad, perhaps we'll just dissect it from beginning to end.
I think so. Because I think on a character front, and you probably disagree with me actually, on a character front I found it watchable, I found the quiet moments good, but it was on a story front, and I'm going to pick up something, and it's not the biggest...
Sorry, you're on your bad, you know?
Yeah, I'm not going to discuss your point too thoroughly yet. And there's a lot to discuss here, isn't there? There's a lot going on. And my bad is actually going to be about the Daleks, which I hoped I wouldn't have to say, because I didn't like Resolution that much, and it's an episode that improved a lot on rewatches for me, but they handled the Daleks really well in that episode.
Yeah, it is.
And sadly, although I feel like the Dalek stuff started off well, I think the general concept that they were trying to do at the start of the episode with the Daleks was good.
Yeah.
It went in such a strange, messy direction at the end, with all these other Daleks coming in, and this sort of civil war thing that came out of nowhere, and then the Daleks just not really doing anything and being really dumb and defeated really easily, dragged into the TARDIS and then blown up, and then they just disappear, and it's all over. It felt like the Dalek stuff didn't have... It sort of felt like the Dalek stuff went away in the second part of the episode, and it just felt like the Daleks were mainly just a plot device to get the companions into a story,
mm-hmm.
where rather than the Daleks being great all the way through.
Yeah, which always seems a real waste of an important villain, doesn't
yeah.
it? It feels
and it's a shame, you know, I think there was real potential here for the Daleks to be great. I think there was a real potential for this to be a really great Dalek story. I think there's some really good concepts that they did here, but they didn't really know what they were doing with the Daleks, and they just sort of faded away. And a lot of things did this. A lot of things felt underdeveloped.
Well, maybe that's a good opportunity for me to come in, because my biggest hate in the whole episode was actually equally about a 1 second moment, was when the Doctor said, I need to go back and see my fam, or something like that. I just found my blood boiling.
I hate whenever she says fam, and I hope to God, and I know we'll discuss this later on, but I know we'll see Graham and Ryan again, probably, and I hope they stop saying that word.
Yeah,
it's so annoying.
There's just something really irritating about that moment. But that won't be my bad, because that's too petty, and there's too many other bad things to talk about. But I thought, seeing as though the one plus side from this era has been that it looks good, I thought this looked awful.
Yeah,
I thought the effects from this were appalling. The bit I hate most,
yeah.
and there's a lot of things I hate effects-wise, the bit when the Daleks all go into the TARDIS.
Oh, yeah, that looks
really gorgeous. And the bit when they're all lined up. And they went into, and that, I'm getting off on one now, but the bit when the inferior Harriet Jones was there giving a talk with the Daleks, and then they blasted her and then turned around and faced the television screen.
I like how nobody really cared that she died.
it was a really, really bad episode.
Yeah.
It was truly mind-numbing bad.
It is sometimes amazing to see how bad they can go in some aspects.
Yeah. I don't know what you thought of the effects. I thought the effects were appalling.
Yeah.
Seems like they've had, a whole year to actually do this, the effects were awful.
My problem with the way it looks is usually the lighting and the lens flares, but in this respect I do agree with you. There were some bits that looked quite good, like the bit where they were above that sort of bridge place and the Daleks were sort of there, all civil warring. I thought that looked good, but I knew you were going to say that bit when you brought up the effects, but yeah, it looked terrible, didn't it?
I knew this was going to look awful, anyway, I'd already seen it in the trailer, but the flying Daleks just look crap. They just look rubbish. But the bit with the TARDIS was just awful. When there was hundreds of them all lined up near the TARDIS, and then they all go in there. It just looked
How stupid were the Daleks as well?
It was rubbish.
The Daleks got defeated dreadfully easily.
Yeah.
And it is strange.
Yeah. So before we take it apart, sort of scene by scene, because I think that
would
be a good
way. It would be a good way to do it.
Let's just think of some other things. Because what may have surprised you about my feedback is that at no point when looking into the episode did I look into the Donald Trump character.
Yeah.
And whilst I thought he was annoying again, I actually thought that they did the part much better than in the Rackets. Understated.
I feel like the problem was more with the writing this time than the acting. Mm. And there were a few lines that Robertson said which were really cringy.
Yeah.
Mainly in the later part of the episode when he went along with them. I don't think he needed to, but when he was sort of going on about it being a publicity scam and such stuff, and it just really annoyed me because they would always feel out of place and it would always be in quite a action-packed sequence or something, and it just really bugged me at times. But yeah, he was better than he was in Arachnids in the UK, I'll give you that, but I still didn't like him.
No, neither did I. It was an irritating inclusion quite often. Yeah. Using his character for the basic scene setting seemed to work okay, actually.
Yeah, he worked all right in the opening sequence. Mm. When the episode started, I thought he might be better this time. Mm. It was just when he went along with them in the TARDIS, it felt like his character went back to being the way he was.
Yeah.
There were a few, the way he reacted to the TARDIS was the thing that annoyed me the most.
Yeah.
I find that was the moment where his acting went a bit off.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, oh my God, and it was just so false and irritating. And I hate that every character nowadays has to go into the TARDIS and react to it. Like, every supportive character does it now, and it's really irritating.
Yeah. So that's him dealt with. Disliked him, but not as much as in Arachnids, but still disliked. We've missed off the biggie, but the return of Captain Jack.
I find he had some good scenes, some good moments, but I find after he got the Doctor out of prison and after a few other moments, he just sort of faded into the background. He didn't really have much purpose, and then he just disappeared at the end, and it was really weird. They sort of underdeveloped him, and it really annoyed me.
I thought, when he first came into it, I thought, the acting was awful.
Did you?
Yeah. It felt predictable that was how he was going to come into it.
Oh, yeah.
And another scene rivaling the worst moments of it, was how forced it felt when he started talking about Rose. I was getting really annoyed.
You know what?
Writing was so bad.
Yeah, you know what annoyed me was when people last night... By the way, the reaction to this was really strong. People really loved it. And yeah, people really loved it.
It did feel quite RTD like, actually, yeah. To be fair to it, but it felt like the worst parts of the RTD.
It felt like a crap RTD which there aren't, the big episodes of the RTD era usually do it all right. But
I looked up some feedback, and I thought it was pretty 50-50. People either really liked it or really hated it.
Yeah, well, I'm only on Insta at the moment, so I don't know. But the. Yeah, I can't remember where we were going with this.
I was talking about that really horrible moment when Jack started talking about Rose.
Oh, yeah.
And it just felt so forced.
People were using the fact that there were callbacks to the past as a reason why they loved it.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with that, because it felt like they were out of place and mistimed.
That's exactly it. I don't have a problem with it. Moffat was a master. He did it all the time. He'd make callbacks to things. They always felt like they fitted. Whereas here, it just felt really forced. They were doing them as if to sort of go, hey, put their thumbs up and like, look at us. We know our stuff. The only good callback to it, as I say, was the line that Jodie did with the silence, which I thought was very funny.
Yeah, I think I was a bit annoyed at the prison sequences, actually, because it felt like those... it's nice to have those creatures there, but there was something about the way that it was approached, with the villains being there, the Weeping Angel and the Ood and the Sycorax. It felt...
Was there a Sycorax?
There was a Sycorax. Okay. And they were, it focused on them for so long that it felt like it was... a poorly judged fan service, I think. And a lot of people love it. I think it's a good... I think it was something they needed to do, but there was something about it. I can't put my finger on it. That bugged me a bit.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Well, let's work our way through. What did you make of Jodie in this one?
Oh, I didn't like her.
No,
I found her really intolerable. Yeah. And it's a shame, because I think she made some good progressions in character in Series 12. Mm. And
I quite liked her in parts of Series 12, actually, but I was back to really disliking her. Yeah,
and it's strange, because she's been tested so much. I mean, we put the complaint out in Series 11, or at least a lot of fans... complained about this, but that she hadn't been tested enough. Mm. Yet she's found out about the Timeless Child, which is some big thing that's changed her past. She was imprisoned for decades, separated from her fam, and tested as much as she possibly can be. And she's been through a Cyberman adventure and Daleks and stuff like that. Yet she still goes back to being all quirky, and there's just so much dialogue there that's trying to be funny, but it just comes across as cringy. And I don't know whether that's Jodie's performance, because she did a decent job in Series 12, even when the writing was bad, or whether that's the writing.
The writing doesn't help, certainly, because the writing... we've talked a lot about the amount of exposition in Chicken's writing, and it was never more prevalent than in this episode. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, that was a lot of exposition, wasn't there? I rewatched Ascension of the Cybermen and The Timeless Children before this, so I didn't notice it as much when I was watching it. The exposition, because Timeless Children has a lot of exposition, an overwhelming amount. I think that's the most Timeless Children's the most exposition, I think, just because it has to describe the Timeless Child.
Yeah.
And but yeah, this one did have a lot of really annoying exposition.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we come on to the
couple. A lot of Chibnallisms.
Yeah. It was definitely written by Chibnall. You can tell.
Yeah,
the whole style all the way through. There were certain things that Chibnall does do a lot that weren't in it, actually. Mm. It didn't feel like there was...
It didn't have any Wi-Fi family type moments.
No, it didn't
have the most annoying Chibnallisms. Yeah. It just had quite a few of them.
And it didn't feel like the whole PC thing, which is very prevalent in a lot of Chibnall's writing. There were a few little indicators, particularly with the Trump-type character, of linking with real life. But actually, it didn't feel like it was trying to be overly PC.
I think the Dalek PC that they were trying to do with the whole the approaches to defence and technology and race as well, I think they were quite well handled. And it had been a complaint of mine that the Chibnall era usually does political commentary as a separate thing rather than having it as part of the monsters. And they used the Daleks as a means of conveying that political commentary whilst it didn't get in the way of the story. So I think it was handled well enough.
I thought the whole bit about creating the Daleks and a number of them as a security measure just didn't feel very realistic to me.
Didn't it?
No. It felt... I don't know.
I feel like it would happen. Not necessarily... I feel like the writing I think it's the writing.
Maybe it's just the way they handled it, but it just didn't sit well.
I think it's the way they handle it sometimes, because I think it's a good idea. Mm. It just wasn't... It was underdeveloped and wasn't conveyed that well.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you two other things that I actually quite liked about it. Okay. Same as I said about how bad I thought it was, and I do honestly think it was really boring. But what I did like was I liked how they linked in with the first Dalek story, and then it sort of like took off from the end of the last one.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite well done, and therefore I thought the lead into this story, albeit I thought the story was paper thin, the lead into it was quite good. And I actually liked the way that the guy had, the scientist guy had taken the sort of like the genetic creation of the Dalek creature.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ideas with the Daleks going on. It's just a shame they were underdeveloped.
Yeah.
It's the first case of Chibnall not necessarily doing a returning villain right. I mean, he did them right at the start, but then it just sort of...
So should we take
Moffat level Dalek bad?
should we take it then from the let's take it from the pre-title sequence.
Okay, yeah. I watched the episode, and the pre-titles came on, and I was thinking, is it going to begin with the companions? Is it going to begin with the Doctor in prison, or Robertson, or something? No, it begins with some random people. First of all, I would say it was quite surprising to me, because we've been told, you said that it was obvious that 13 would meet Jack in the prison, and by the time that the episode had gone on, I agree, but it was quite surprising in some respects that Jack rescued her straight away, because what we've been told in publicity was that Jack helped the companions, and then they find the Doctor later on in the episode.
Yeah, which I think would be better.
I think it would have been better, too.
I really hated the introduction of Jack as well. I feel like
the episode had too many... first of all, I feel like there were too many people going around in the TARDIS together, like there usually is.
Yeah.
And secondly, I feel like an episode with the companions, even though I'm not a huge fan of them, the companions going around... on their own, trying to solve the mystery, that'd be quite good, and outnumbered, and then the Doctor shows up at the end. And that'd be quite good, even if Jack's there.
But why did he even come and rescue her?
I don't know, how did he know?
I mean,
how does he know?
He hasn't appeared in loads of other episodes to try and help her out of different scrapes when he's had the opportunity. I didn't get it.
How did he know about Aesha, the Cyberman? And in a similar way, how did he know about this?
It's just clumsy, clumsy problems. Can you just save it a second on here, just because I'm conscious of people.
Sorry, we've just had some... technical problems and
usual weekly technical problems.
Yeah, and in our natural way, we didn't delete the previous thing that had evidence of the technical problem. So you have to cope with that in our typical unprofessional way because we're coming to the end. Anyway, what did you think of the opening scene?
I quite liked the guy with the tea. I was disappointed that you didn't keep on.
He was the guy with the tea. As I say, it was a blur to me.
I don't know, but I felt sorry for him. I thought the intro sequence, to be honest, was, again, the first bit when they came and collected the Dalek was alright. Yep. Yeah.
You seem to struggle saying Dalek there as if you didn't know what it was.
No, it's because I thought the computer would stop.
Oh, right, okay. I've got an eye on it.
So I liked that bit. But the guy, when he goes and gets his tea, I felt a bit sorry for him. But the when he goes to the stand, there's a woman there, serves him the tea, and then it ends up being poisoned. Where's all this come from? It just looks really clumsy.
I know, it's really weird, isn't
it? And then I thought, well, maybe I'm being harsh, because I was thinking, well, how did they know he was going to stop there? Have they actually got, like, about 20, you know, every one of the sort of points that he could potentially stop to get his tea? Have they potentially got like a poisoned server there that's gonna drug him? But then I thought maybe he always stops at the same one. It's predictable, so maybe it's not as bad as I thought. But I think it is.
It probably is. So we then went into the opening sequence. And what time did you watch this, by the way? Did you watch it live?
No, I forgot it was on.
Okay.
And, I watched it about 8:30.
Okay, yeah.
As you can tell, it wasn't like I was particularly excited for it or anything.
You were dreading it. Do you think, by the way, before we go into discussing the episode itself, do you think your dread for it impacted your view of the story, or did you go into it very unbiasedly?
Maybe. I think if it had been good, I probably would have thought it was better than I'd expected. But I think, because that's what happened with last series, I was expecting it to be really bad and actually ended up enjoying it far more. And this one I was expecting to be bad, and it came... I wouldn't say it was worse than I thought it was going to be. I don't think it was. I think it was what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Oh, it was what I thought it was going to be. Enjoyable enough, but with too many problems and a messy narrative.
Yeah. My view is a bit like that, other than with the enjoyable enough element, because I didn't enjoy one bit.
I enjoyed parts of it.
So after we've had that scene, I think the episode starts proper. We meet the fam.
Actually, we meet Robertson first.
Do we meet Robertson first?
Okay. Because it takes us a while to get to the fam, actually. They're not there for a while.
Yeah.
Which I was expecting us to open up with the fam.
Yeah.
Like
I said, the whole intro sequence with Robertson, I didn't find him as annoying. I thought it was quite plausible.
What did you think of Budget, Harriet Jones, and Leo?
Leo was okay. It was a bit of a not really important character.
Yeah.
The Budget, Harriet Jones, I thought was rubbish.
Yeah.
It just felt... it felt like just a rerun of the character of Harriet Jones, but without any form of likability.
Harriet Jones had a certain charm.
Yeah.
And also you had the running joke of, yes, we know who you are, which is very amusing.
Yeah, but she felt there was a bit of humour about that character. And
she was nice.
Quite plausible. Was this just, she just felt like a really artificial character.
Yeah, it felt like a very clear... she was meant to be like Theresa May, wasn't she?
Yeah. But essentially, in typical Chibnall fashion... This was just like a remake of Victory of the Daleks.
Yeah.
It's a concept, wasn't it? It's
sort
just,
of.
You know, and if you're going to, surely if you're going to take an episode and just like take the basic concept of an episode, don't you go for something a bit better than Victory of the Daleks, which was crap?
Yeah, I know. It was actually with them sort of, with the Daleks sort of there as defence things.
Yeah, it was...
And then won it, and then them... the Iron Sage rebelling, and then you had the other Daleks come along and exterminate all the other ones.
Yeah, it wasn't even a fresh concept, I don't think. So, when the fam came in, what did you make of that?
First of all, you've skipped the bit where the Doctor comes in, but it's fine, we'll do it at a different order.
Okay.
So, what did I think of that? Well, they're in that house, they're in the TARDIS house.
Yeah.
What I think is, I wonder what the neighbour's reaction was, because in Timeless Children it materialised there. Also, why didn't they give the TARDIS house to Ravio and her friends, the people from Timeless Children? Because Graham and Ryan actually have a house.
I mean, remember.
Yaz, sorry.
Yeah.
Yaz actually has a house. Why didn't they give it to the other people?
I didn't even remember that bit, actually, to be honest.
Didn't you?
No.
Yeah, well, they got a TARDIS at the end of the previous one.
Yeah.
But it was okay. Graham and Ryan have just sort of got going on. I'll talk about Yaz, actually. I think this was Yaz's best episode.
Yeah, she was alright, actually.
I think she was more the character that I think she should be in the future. I think we've still got to give her more time and give her more stuff to do, but that will happen. Obviously, not necessarily in the way we were expecting to before, given the announcements yesterday.
Yeah.
But...
I think two companions you can work with.
Yeah.
Three just bloated.
Depends if they add another one.
Well,
and
we'll
go into that later.
Okay.
But the I liked Yaz. I thought she was quite good in this one. And I think it shows she has more potential to be a good companion. It was very obvious though, from the way that she had been handled, that she is meant to have a crush on the Doctor.
Yeah.
I also found the scene where she shoved the Doctor a bit jarring for some reason.
Yeah, I did as well. It just felt a little bit like... It just felt a bit harsh, actually, more than anything, you know. She's been in prison all this time.
Although I would punch her in the face, to be honest.
She's a bit annoying. But
I would punch Ryan, too, if that's any...
But... Do you know, I thought Moffat handled that similar... Again, this is something which has been done before, because this is pretty much the same as the end of the Doctor, the Widow and the Wardrobe, when the Doctor appears at Rory and Amy's door, having been presumed dead. And that dealt with it far better, I thought. In fact, that felt far more realistic, the attitude of them.
Yeah.
There was a slight difference, I guess, in that one, in that they did actually know that the Doctor was still alive.
Yeah. I said the word punch, I meant shove. Yeah. And, it makes me sound really like an abuser. I'm not. Sorry about that.
So, I tell you, I agree with you. I thought Yaz was probably stronger.
Yeah.
The scene that then came after that, though, when they go and confront... Trump, or the Trump guy, I forgot his name, about the that was just crap, wasn't it?
Yeah. They just... it's laughable, really.
It was really bad.
They...
It was just like the weakest sort of If we're going to rely on those three to save the universe, then we're screwed.
Like 2020, that would be bad. But yeah, they go up to Robertson, and then the guards just come along, and then that's all over. That's done.
So to the doctor's introduction, so I've got my order of events slightly out, obviously. Yeah. So I was thinking the fam came in before. Doctor in the prison.
Yeah.
I've said that there was a bit that I sort of like there, which was the aliens. Not quite sure what the Pating was doing in there. In fact, there was two references to the Pating.
There was.
The mighty Pating.
The mighty Pating. Why didn't he mention Tim Shaw?
Yeah. What is it with Chibnall bringing back really underwhelming characters?
I don't know.
Anyway, that's another thing. The prison scene just felt a little bit like a bit of a letdown.
It felt like wasted potential to me. I think the...
Probably because it was all so rushed.
Yeah, and that's a shame because... Like, this wasn't surprising to me because there's so much to balance in this story. It didn't do it well. It felt very, very rushed.
Mm.
It felt like there was too much going on. Some things got time to breathe, but not necessarily everything. Things like Jack and the prison and stuff like that didn't feel like they had time to breathe. So, yeah, I'd agree. I think there was so much potential for some really good scenes with the Doctor in the prison.
Yeah.
And some really good potential to test her. I think it could have been quite a violent, interesting landscape to explore.
Yeah.
But it didn't really do that. It didn't really have any interesting stuff. And then by the time she was rescued, it was just sort of forgotten about. And there doesn't feel like there's any real consequences of it. You know, at least they... We'll talk about this scene later on, but at least they brought up the Timeless Child.
Yeah.
So it just feels like... Straight away, the Doctor was back to how she was. It didn't feel like there was any need for her to be in prison all that time.
So presumably now, the Doom will be trying to track her for forever now.
Yeah, I know.
She is a fugitive now.
I'm surprised the Doom weren't in it, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, so that's probably enough about... We talked about Jack's intro already. They then meet up. We've talked about the pushy, shovey bits.
What did you think of the scene where the TARDIS actually materialised and it was a really sweeping, epic moment and it was weird?
I actually thought the excitement of Yaz hearing it was all right.
Yeah.
But can I just mention something? I'm not sure. This is probably the case all the way through, so I'm going to mention it now whilst it's popped into my head. How bad was the music in this episode?
I didn't... notice it being bad?
I just thought it was just... It felt like... You know how there's always a sort of a bit of a blockbustery sort of feel about music in the RTD and Moffat era? I'm rubbish with names. I can't remember the guy's name.
Murray Gold.
But Murray Gold got it right. They didn't necessarily get the volume right all the time. But the music had that sort of big feel about it. This just felt... OTT. I don't know whether it was just because everything is on the screen was so underwhelming, but the music felt OTT for the underwhelmingness of everything.
It's strange that it felt underwhelming because it was one of those episodes where I didn't mind it that much when it was on. Obviously there were bits that really annoyed me, but then after it ended I picked up on the flaws and it underwhelmed me. And it's strange that it's underwhelming even though we didn't go in with very high expectations.
Yeah.
It just seemed like there's so much going on here, like Daleks, Captain Jack, stuff like that. Companion exits, the Doctor in prison. Some big things going on. It didn't really feel that exciting.
I think it's because... we're talking a bit more general again. If ever an episode felt like Doctor Who by numbers, this episode did.
Yeah.
You know, it was really... basic and crap.
Yeah, yes. We need to start giving crap as a criticism.
What did you think of it? It was crap. Okay, so let's carry on with the story then. You might have to remind me what happens next.
I believe that they go off in TARDIS to find the place where Robertson is. I believe, if I remember right, the Doctor and the Doctor Graham and Ryan, they go off and see Robertson.
I hated that. See, the dialogue there between Doctor and Robertson was just awful. It was really, really bad.
Yeah, I agree. The dialogue to Robertson wasn't good. Even though, you know, he was tolerable, it just wasn't good.
Dialogue. I was thinking more the Doctor's.
Was it?
Yeah, but...
She was... Yeah, I agree there too, to be honest.
Yeah. So they discover that in the meantime, we've had this whole issue with the scientist guy having genetically recreated the Dalek. I thought that was quite a good touch, actually. That was it was always obvious that that was going to... No, sorry, I'm wrong. It wasn't obvious that that was going to happen. But it was obvious that that was obviously going to be the thing that then sparked everything off.
Yeah.
But that's fine. Once they... go to Japan because they find out that Robertson's obviously bought this new facility there.
Did you find I've got two questions relating to all this this Japan thing, but did you find the amount of characters in the TARDIS? And this is a problem that I find all the way through the Chibnall era in episodes like Arachnids in the UK and Orphan 55. All the characters go along at the same time, and usually the Doctor gets stuff to say, and then there's about five or six other characters in the background that don't really do a great deal.
Or if they do, they all say something, taking it in turns.
Yeah, and that was definitely the case here, because we had the three companions, Jack and Robertson, going along.
And why did it take them so long to get there?
Because they wanted to talk about the time.
The TARDIS just turned straight up.
Yeah, I know.
This is like hanging around for ages.
I know. And it was only a jump between the planet. You'd think that would take less time. But yes. You know, when they go to another planet, when they go to another solar system, sure, it usually takes a few minutes. But yeah, it didn't really make sense in continuity.
Yeah.
My second question regarding that was, what did you think? I know we both said that Yaz was I think it was Yaz's best episode so far. What did you think? Because it was very obvious to me that Yaz has feelings for the Doctor, romantic feelings.
Yeah, that she didn't previously have.
Yeah, it's hinted at... I watched Haunting of Villa Diodati as well, because I wanted to recap myself. And it's hinted at there, but it's... not necessarily in a romantic sense. Yeah. It's not at all in Series 11. So I feel like it's mainly just a plot there to really impress the Thasmin stands. Yeah. What did you think of this very implied love there?
I didn't have a problem with that, actually.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that just because of my rant the other day. I thought actually they dealt with that quite well. And to a certain extent, maybe, although I was sort of saying, you know, we've not really talked about this, but Yasmin hasn't really had this before, I guess the whole absence element of it may have focused her mind a little bit on some of these things. And she obviously did look up to the Doctor as being a strong female role model sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, I didn't have a problem with that. I thought, of all the scenes, that was one of the better ones.
Yeah. And they didn't kiss. You predicted that they would. Yeah. You also predicted that Jodie would regenerate.
Yeah, that's right.
Neither of those things happened. I didn't want Jodie to regenerate because she was on the right track until this episode.
Hmm.
Where do we go from there?
So, they try and blow the Japanese place up, but in the meantime the scientist guy turns up and, using some sort of weird power that I don't know what it is, manages to transport all of the Dalek creatures into the bodies of the...
I don't remember that happening in Resolution, and I only watched it a few months ago.
Yeah,
I can't remember that happening.
What happened?
They said that the ultraviolet light I know this. I know it probably did happen, and I'm just being dumb.
Yeah.
But the ultraviolet light transferring the Dalek into the body.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I can't remember that. It might just be my terrible memory. It's probably because every time I watch it, I turn off around the time where Ryan and his dad have the conversation. So then we go on to the Daleks going alive at the reconnaissance Daleks attacking everyone. What I found the scenes where the Daleks were attacking everyone, again, there's a lot of moments like this that felt jarring, and I can't put my finger on why exactly, but it just felt like everyone was moving towards the Dalek and getting shot, and nobody was really screaming. There wasn't really a realistic...
Do you know what I was thinking at the point of the episode?
Yeah.
I was thinking, I'm glad that you and I, because we were in Cardiff when that was being filmed back here, I'm glad that we stayed at the hotel eating Krispy Kremes and wasn't involved in that crap.
Did you notice the bit that was...
Yeah,
we were there on that... That day,
I wish we'd actually been there.
Yeah, it would have been good.
It would have made the episode more enjoyable if we'd have been standing there or walking towards the Dalek.
You could have been that person behind the car, the woman behind the car.
The bit that really got me though was the bit when they blasted the Prime Minister. He was a rubbish character anyway, but. It was the fact that happened, and then they just like forward, and they just like turned to the camera. It was crappy. It just the whole of that scene looked naff.
I know. I don't know what it was that was so naff about it, but it just felt so jarring in the way it was conveyed.
Yeah.
And like she was just like, it's obvious to show to criticise the sort of failures of Theresa May, because Theresa May would have been Prime Minister at the time this was written. Yeah. And she's just wandering towards the door like, how could this have happened? Oh my god, and they're filming her death.
Yeah.
It's like so obvious that the Daleks are going to kill her. Why would they film
her? Yeah, no, exactly. The whole Theresa May thing seemed odd as well, because I mean, I guess, I'm trying to think, when they made this, Boris was already in, wasn't he?
I don't think... by the time they made it, yeah, but not necessarily by the time it was written.
Yeah.
I reckon it was written summer 2019.
Yeah, but I still think, you know, they could have like changed that character a bit and made it a bit more relevant.
Yeah, if it was made about Boris, it'd make a bit more sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, it might be too similar to the Trump character.
Yeah, true. But anyway, you know, that's that, yeah. It wasn't really that important, but it felt like, as I say, it, that whole concept just felt a bit like Victory of the Daleks and Harriet Jones, just done not as well. Mm. We then get the issue where, this really bugged me as well, okay. When they're trying to work out what they're going to do, and the Doctor says, what if, and Jack sort of says, no, you can't do that. You think... There could be like about a million and one things the Doctor could be considering. How would Jack have actually known exactly what it was?
To show their symbiotic connection.
Well, I don't know. I hated it.
Yeah.
Jack
wasn't quite as flirtatious in this one, was he?
No, I'll tell you what I did find quite funny.
Yeah.
There was the odd little one line. However badly I thought the writing was written, I did like the bit when with Yaz and Jack. When she said something along the lines of, you think very highly of yourself, don't you? And he sort of like gave this look to the camera. And I thought that was actually quite funny. So there were really little... If I was to take the bits I liked out of this episode, it would probably be about 30 seconds
It'd be
long.
Shorter than the trailer for you.
Yeah. But there were a few bits that did tickle me. Okay, so we've now got the bit where... Let's move to the bit where Robertson confronts the Daleks and tries to team up with them.
Yeah.
Which I just thought was laughable, actually.
It was. How did the Daleks fall for him? Like, I don't get it.
No.
It's just stupid. But also, by the way, because I don't want to focus on Robertson too much because I don't like him, but... He's going to return, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's going to have a third appearance. Yeah. And in that story, I reckon he's going to redeem himself. He's going to have like this big redemption arc that we're meant to care about.
I don't think they will, because I think they will just do something else Trumpy with him, I think.
Yeah, probably. I think he'll have I think he will sacrifice himself in his last story, whenever it is. Whether that's his third story or whether that's
whether he's in it more. An ongoing companion. God, that would be awful. So the Doctor basically calls the proper Daleks to destroy the other Daleks. Then you get the really pointless bit where on the main Dalek ship, one of the new robot ones appears and gets destroyed really, really quickly. What's the point of that?
When Robertson says, "Take me to your leader. Who is your leader?" I thought Davros was going to show up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, they're going to bring Davros into this. Which, with the pacing that was going on, I was thinking, and we only had 15 minutes left or something.
Yeah.
I was thinking, oh God, how? Please don't bring him into this. I'm sure he'll appear in the... I'm sure there'll be a third Dalek story in this era and he'll appear in.
So... we're getting towards the end of it. We've talked about the big bit where the Daleks get destroyed. It was underwhelming and looked awful.
It just felt like a moment to... it sort of sacrificed the Dalek elements for the rest of things. Everything storyline-wise was sacrificed so Graham and Ryan could leave.
Yeah, I mean, if the story had been strong enough for that to have coped with that, then it would have been fine. It was a really weak story.
Yeah, it just felt like a flabby story, really. You know, I think there was a story there to tell.
It was. It's Victor the Daleks.
Yeah. I think there were some really good ideas going on here. I think there's several stories you could tell, but all of them were condensed together in the wrong order, in the wrong way, underdeveloped, undercooked, and it just didn't work.
Can I take us then? So we talked about the last scene in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And how Captain Jack was underused in that bit, because he managed to get Gwen mentioned.
Yeah, we also get the Gwen mention, and everyone's now freaking out because everyone thinks that Tortured's coming back now. Yeah. Just because, I bet you, right, and I wanted to pick up on this from earlier, I bet you the mention of Rose to Parallel Universes, and I'll tell you why I think this later. I think she's going to come back.
You think so?
At some point, yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me
if they brought her back. What was it, just to clarify, because you didn't really clarify earlier, what was it that annoyed you about the Rose mention?
It was just forced.
Yeah.
It just felt like a really random line.
It was just there
to make Doctor Who fans feel a bit squiffy inside.
And it worked. Not for me, but...
Yeah. I'd like to just take it to the last scene then. Yep. First of all, the doctor gives Ryan and Graham some psychic paper.
Yeah, and then Angel Grace shows up.
I was going to come on to that in a minute. Okay, let's mention that. What was that about?
Angel Grace.
What was the point of that thing?
I don't know. I laugh when
I hated it. That was up there with my. That was up there with my, when I was contemplating what was going to be my bad. That was one of the things, which.
It reminded me of something like from another franchise, and I can't remember what it is.
It was just there was no point to it. It was so quick, that it had no relevance. Something that, you know, I've said that occasionally I've said things that I thought they did do well.
Hmm.
I did like the way that. The final scene could so easily have been Ryan riding his bike successfully.
Yeah.
And I thought it was quite funny the way that the last scene was him falling off the bike again.
Yeah.
And I quite liked the idea of the two of them on Earth going around trying to solve problems. Albeit, if they do it as badly as they did it with with Robertson at the beginning of this episode, then they're either going to die very quickly or end up in prison.
Yeah, but, they... First of all, I hope we don't get a spin-off, because however much I like Graham, I do not like Ryan, and having him as a main character would really irritate me. And second of all, I think it's a really nice ending for the characters, up until the point where Angel Grace pops up. Yeah. I like the line where Graham says, you do get aliens in Sheffield, because that sort of brought us back to him doubting that in the first episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there were some nice callbacks to the first episode, and I think the exits were well handled. It's just such a shame that it was ruined with a really cheesy naff moment that was meant to be heartwarming but just failed.
It was just the delivery of it was just was a failure, wasn't it?
But it just looked stupid as well. Like,
but going back to the bike bit, I thought it was quite good.
Yeah.
I one of the issues I've had all the way through this era is that they just seem to bring Ryan's disability in very, very occasionally when it suits their purpose to do it.
Yeah, and it's a shame, really.
Yeah.
Because obviously, I mean, obviously, it's important to tell stories about, people with disabilities. You know, there's a lot of people with dyspraxia. I just find it a bit disrespectful to people with dyspraxia that it's only brought up for a plot device.
It's turned on and off, isn't it, when they want to.
And it's a similar way to how in Series 11 they often felt forced when they would bring up people, the sexuality of random supportive characters.
Yeah.
People like the woman who was Robertson's aide or something in Arachnids in the UK, who got killed off in the next scene, or the police officer in Resolution.
They'd always get killed off, but not until they said, "Ooh, I'm gay, I am," and that'd be it, wouldn't it? That'd be the way they'd do it. It was that. Badly written.
Yeah, luckily in Praxis they did some natural LGBT representation, and then everyone immediately loved the episode. That should just be the standard.
Yeah, but I mean, they did do it better there. That's the thing.
That should just be what it's like all the time.
It can be done well, but too often not. It just feels forced and tick-boxy.
Yeah.
So, I think we're probably getting towards the end of our review now.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring us on to the bit that I didn't see because I watched it on iPlayer.
I also watched it on iPlayer, so I didn't see it either. But
have you seen it, or have you just read it?
Yes, I have seen it.
What happened then?
So
the end credits roll, presumably.
The end credits roll. I actually, I'd watched the episode. It finished at 7:52 for me, which was like 8 minutes earlier than everyone else. And then at about 8 o'clock, someone said on Instagram about the John Bishop, and I hadn't seen it anywhere.
Yeah.
So I went back and looked at it, and it was just after the credits had rolled, so I guess a lot of people would have missed it if they watched it on iPlayer. Because I'd heard there was a surprise ending to the episode, and I was really confused why that hadn't happened. Because I thought, there'll be a post-credits scene now. It turned out there was, but it wasn't on the actual episode. So the trailer shows sort of a ferry, I think it is, and then just some shots. I think it might be in Sheffield. I can't remember where. Or Manchester, actually, it might be. I've only watched this trailer once, bear in mind. And it's very brief. There's like a friend of the guy going on about horoscopes. And then it closes in on, I forgot his name.
John Bishop.
Yeah, I said it 2 minutes ago and I forgot his name. John Bishop's face. And it then shows clips of him, presumably from the episodes. And then it just says, introducing John Bishop 2021. So now we know that he will be taking on the role of the companion. We previously did see him on set. But we didn't think he was a companion. We've seen him filming for the Sontaran story, which we can now assume is the first story of the series. And that was set in Manchester, I believe. And it's got pumpkins there, so I'm sure it will air on Halloween. But, so he will be playing a character called Dan. And the press release says, Chris Chibnall says, "We've got Dan the man." And I bet you, right, they're going to say, "We stand Dan the man from the fam." I bet that will happen.
My original thought was that that was a joke. It was somebody making a funny comment. Because I read it.
Did you?
When I was looking up reviews of it afterwards. Because I thought, does everyone else think this is as bad as I did?
Did they?
It was mixed. I was looking on Twitter, and there was people that really loved it. There didn't seem to be many people that thought it was alright. People either seemed to really like it, saying it was 10 out of 10. And somebody said, so you think this is as good as Blink, do you?
Me and... I've only seen, I think, two other people who agreed with me on this episode. And obviously you disliked it much more than I did. But, you know, I wasn't a fan. So I'm one of the only people who thought it was middle of the line.
I've gone off tangent a little bit to what I was going to say about John Bishop, but I'm going to say this now whilst it's in my head. It just reminded me, and I used the words Doctor Who by numbers earlier on. It's exactly the same as a really bland song goes in at number one.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like...
You watched Top of the Pops last week.
Yeah, and the fact that people... I don't know, people want to like it and therefore like it. Maybe I was the opposite. Maybe I didn't want to like it and hated it. I mean, maybe there was an element of
But I don't think you did, because you went into Spyfall with really low expectations, possibly lower than this one, because you didn't like Series 11 at all, whereas you quite liked Series 12.
Yeah.
And you're the same as me. And then you went into it and hated it. So I think you're just being honest.
Yeah,
I think so. And I'm being honest.
But it did feel, it just felt bland. Yeah. More than anything, it felt really bland and... How you could have that much stuff going on in an episode and for it still to be bland, I don't actually know.
I feel it's like the episode of the Chibnall era that shouldn't be bland. Like the most... it shouldn't be an average episode. It should either be terrible or great. And preferably great. I feel like the only reason... I mean, there's obviously some people who like it who genuinely did love it, and I'm glad people did enjoy it. But there were people who seemed to like it just because it had callbacks to people like Rose and Gwen and the prison creatures and had Captain Jack and the Daleks. And it felt like people were just liking it for the fan service without actually seeing the flaws. I mean, there's a lot of people who liked the episode a lot and still acknowledge that it had problems. And a lot of people that hated the episode and still acknowledge the things that are good. And, you know, it just felt a bit biased to me.
It felt predictably bland.
Yeah.
Because the series... I mean, even though we both enjoyed last season's a lot better than we thought we were going to, it still was fairly bland in reality.
It felt like Doctor Who... but not good Doctor Who.
And this felt. Like. Yeah. This felt like a really mediocre RTD episode.
Yeah. Although not entertaining in it. You know, RTD era had good actors and performance. Yeah.
And the writing was always better.
And the writing was better, yeah.
The writing was
there was always weird. A good wit and a charm.
So we started talking about John Bishop, and what the comment I was going to make was I thought it was a joke. And the reason I thought it was a joke was because I thought, sure, isn't this essentially like just Graham again?
Yeah, I know. I've never seen. I know he's. You know he's quite well known as a comedian, but I've never really seen him properly, and I'd never seen Bradley Walsh that much since before Doctor Who came along. So I'm not really sure what he's going to be like, but from what I can tell. He's of a similar age to Bradley Walsh, of a similar ilk. You know, I think he will be a bit like Graham. And that's why I'm worried that there'll be a third companion who will be a bit like Ryan.
Mm.
That will be in there as well. And I reckon they'll rebuild the fam.
It could have the similar sort of feel of Stephen coming in after Ian.
Yes.
Where essentially it was a slightly inferior version of Ian. Yeah. I like Peter Purvis and stuff like that. And I don't mind John Bishop. He's an all right comedian. Yeah. It's okay.
What do you think? Would you have rather it was just 13 and Yaz? Or are you glad there's another companion?
I'm glad they brought another companion in.
I've got mixed feelings. On one respect, it makes Thasmin less likely to happen.
Yeah.
And I hate Doctor Companion romances, as I say every time we bring up Thasmin. You know, I hated Ten Rose so much, and I hated when Eight and Grace kissed when we watched TV movie last week.
Yeah.
So I'm just glad that probably won't happen now, even though I'm sure Yaz will confess about her feelings for the Doctor eventually.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, and also because they're a bit bland together,
mm-hmm.
but also on the other hand, it feels like they're making the same mistake as they did last time, where they've got so many supportive characters and so many companions at the same time. Yeah. The episode just feels too packed. So that's why I was hoping that we get time for just 13 and Yaz to breathe, you know, just as characters, have them alone. I think that would be good, because I think that's what they need. There were, in series 11 and 12, even when the character stuff between the companions was good, and the Doctor, there were way too many companions.
I was just reading a review, actually, whilst when we were having the technical problems in here earlier on. I was reading a review that got it spot on for me, which is they were describing how Chibnall works as a writer. And they said that he has an idea, and then he has another idea, and then another idea, and he just starts throwing them all together. So they're happening so fast before you've realised how bad the first idea is, the second idea is coming. And I thought, actually, that's pretty spot on, really.
Yes, true. And do you think there'll be a third companion joining them, or do you think it'll just be Doctor Yaz and Dan?
I think they might go for just the three.
I think they might too, and I hope so, because if you add a third companion on that, it will become unbearably crowded. But because I think the opening episode will focus on introducing Dan as a character, I don't think we're going to have much time to divert Yaz again. I feel like she's going to be sort of the second most important one again. Like Graham and Ryan became the most important characters in series 11 and 12, and Yaz sort of was in the background most of the time. She didn't do much. I feel that'll be the same way here.
So if we, I think we're pretty much ready. We've talked a long time. We're probably ready to wrap up the show, I would think.
Yeah, but nobody listens, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well. A final question for you.
Yeah.
Where do you think this leaves us for the next season? In terms of what's your feeling coming out of this special?
Well, the next season is going to be, it seems, a bit of a reboot. In terms of that we've got a new team.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that it could be good. It could be nice to have a bit of a fresh start. I mean, obviously we've got Yaz and 13 still there. Obviously we still got things like Captain Jack the Master, Ruth Doctor, who probably will return.
Mm-hmm.
Robertson, stuff like that, probably will return. Graham and Ryan will probably return. And I think it gives potential for us to have a nice fresh start, a nice clean slate. Hopefully Chibnall takes what worked in series 12 and improves what didn't work in series 12. But given that it was quite successful, given that this episode was quite successful on the whole, obviously it's too divisive to think it's overly successful, but there's a lot of people who like it, so I think he's just going to do exactly the same thing as he did in series 12.
I think it'll be very similar to 12.
Yeah. And that's not, that means it probably won't be terrible viewing, but it means it won't be very good.
Yeah, I think it's like we've sort of said before when we've talked about it. You know, you think most eras of Who, even the bland eras of Who, have got the odd few episodes that stand out as classics.
Yeah.
And I don't yet think Chibnall's come up with a classic. Even though people might talk about the South African one.
Spyfall.
No.
Demons of the Punjab.
Rosa.
Yeah. South Africa.
Oh no, it wasn't South African, was it? Yeah, I was just thinking about the context of it. No, it was.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But,
sorry.
Sorry, yeah, I'm getting my look, because the other one was filmed in South Africa, wasn't it?
Yeah.
One of them was. Demons?
Demons, probably. Yeah. Blue, I don't know.
Yeah. But
A lot of them have been filmed.
People talk about that one as being like a classic, but it still doesn't feel like a classic to me.
Episodes like Rosa... Well, particularly episodes like Spyfall, Fugitive of the Jadoon, Haunting of Villa Diodati, they're decent episodes in their own right. In terms of the Chibnall era, they're good. And if they were put in the RTD or Moffat era, they'd be average. But I think in the Chibnall era, they're good. And I think that's the standard we've come to now. I think a lot of people are expecting terrible things, so when something with references to the past, something which has some good moments in, comes along.
Yeah.
And I've fallen for this with things like Haunting of Villa Diodati and Spyfall. So I know how this feels. I'm not saying it's dumb of people to do this, but when something remotely good happens, they love the episode.
Yeah, no, indeed. Yeah.
And
I think, was it called Kazam? Kablam. That was like a good example of that, wasn't it? Where it was actually a really, really average episode, but because it felt more Who-like, people liked it.
And Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror was a similar case, where it was an enjoyable episode in its own right, but people said it was amazing, and people rated it 10 out of 10 just because it was a bit fun.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with that. What do you think? Are you going to go into series 13 with higher expectations than you did Revolution of the Daleks?
No.
Yeah, what are your expectations going to be?
Well, I mean, this episode just had me doubting about how much I liked series 12.
I don't think there's any way. I've rewatched some of series 12, and I tell you what, it's not as good. I just want to be out of this era.
I want to be out of this era as well.
I'm bored of talking about it. I'm bored of watching it. I just want us to, you know, Chibnall and Jodie seem like lovely people in real life, and I hate to diss them so much. I'm not dissing them as people, but it's just this era has so many problems, and I want to be out of it.
Yeah.
First, final thing I wanted to bring up, viewing figures.
Yes.
4.69 million, which is quite good.
Yeah.
Quite good. At least for nowadays, it is good. Obviously, we haven't had the consolidated viewing figures yet.
There's more than 96. I said it was going to be about 2.9, didn't I? 2.9,
yeah,
I
think. And I told you it wouldn't be.
No. I think there's probably... There would be more people at home on New Year's Eve than there ordinarily would be.
You keep saying it was on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Day.
You always so, do yeah. that.
Yeah. But, you know, there was more people around.
Yeah, than
would have been. People would ordinarily have been visiting families and that sort of stuff, so maybe more people would have watched it.
And also people would have been out celebrating, had hangovers, you know. I think more people would have watched it than usual. I don't know what the appreciation index is yet, so I don't know. They're not usually reliable. But I haven't really looked at many reviews or ratings yet, to be honest, because by the time that the episode had aired, I sort of grew fed up of talking about it. But yeah,
we've done quite well now. I don't know how long we've been waffling.
We have been talking for a long time. It's nice to talk to some people who... it's always nice to agree with someone. I was kind of hoping you liked this episode in some respects, so we could argue. I like arguing. No, I don't. I don't know what I'm on. Please stop me.
Well, let's stop the show there, because I think we've talked enough. Last episode next week.
Yeah.
What's going to be on the last show?
Episode number 401 next week, the finale. And we will be reviewing Seeds of Doom.
Excellent.
Yes, so we will be reviewing Seeds of Doom next week on the final episode of the podcast. It's been a joy to have you all on here.
More of a joy than the episode was.
Yes, we hope to join you again next week. We hope you can join us. We will be back on Saturday the 9th, I think it is, or the 8th, one of the two. And we'll be doing that. We'll be rounding off the podcast. We'll be taking a look at some of our highlights of the show. Also, I just found out that John Bishop has COVID-19. So Let's hope he recovers. My best wishes to him, and hopefully we can get series 13 out and filming now. Anyway, yeah, you can get in hold get in touch with us. No, I'll just give you the podcast.
How can people get hold of us?
Yeah, it's really jarring when you don't ask. He's multitasking, he's got some important things to be doing. Anyway, yes, you can listen to us at Dog Tom and Space at Podomatic, iTunes, TuneIn, and the Dog Podcast Alliance. Thank you for tuning in. I've been Lewis Moon.
I've been Buckle.
Thank you for joining us. We will see you next time for a final time. Same time.
Same space.
Goodbye.
They call me the doctor. I am a doctor.